You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday, February 10th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, up 4 cents from Friday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $5.40.
Ooh.
That's up 23 cents from Friday.
My goodness.
But don't worry about it, my friends. Donald Trump, of course, over the weekend, not addressing the cost of groceries. But he is bringing back plastic straws.
Whew.
Well, so there's that. We have a very busy show coming up for you today, provided everyone shows up. you know how I worry about this, Greg Buck.
Oh, I know.
Sometimes signals get crossed. There are cross communications. But we'll see. Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, is set to join us at 10:33. He is, of course, an oil and gas industry expert. Donald Trump has said now in his second term, it's going to be drill, baby, drill. Do the oil companies want to do that?
Well, I feel like the oil companies are already drilling.
They are drilling.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Matt Randolph about that. If you have any questions for him, please send them in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. He's going to be with us for a half an hour. So if you have a question for Mr. Global about gas and oil prices, natural gas, things like that, send in your questions. Do it now to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. After the 11 o'clock news, our new monthly segment called Beyond the Cheese. Today, we are going beyond the cheese with Midwest Sad. I think it's hilarious.
And it'll be making us Midwest happy.
Midwest happy. Sarah Sandrin is going to be joining us in studio. I'm hoping she brings along a little couple treats.
Hopefully, yeah.
That Midwest Sad sells.
If you're listening right now.
We'll learn more about Midwest Sad coming up after the 11 o'clock news. We will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Sure, Blame the Monkey edition. Easy out there. All the details coming up at the very end of the show around 11:51. Did want to start, though, with this. Up front on WISN Channel 12, they do a really good job of this.
Mm-hmm.
Both Supreme Court candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court appearing over the weekend on WISN's Up Front, Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel. Brad Schimmel says he's running an entirely different campaign than Daniel Kelly did when he ran against Janet Protasiewicz 2 years ago. Daniel Kelly, of course, lost by 11 points. It was a big, big win for Janet Protasiewicz.
I thought it was 12, but yeah, still, it was a decisive victory.
Absolutely. We are in different times now.
Yes, we are.
We will see what happens with that, but we have a couple clips.
Yes.
From both of them. Let's start, Calvin, with Brad Schimmel, please. Can you play clip number one from Mr. Schimmel?
There's a ton of big issues before the court and likely more to come. Justice Hagedorn recently announced he's going to recuse himself from the case involving Act 10. Did he make the right decision on that?
You know, only he can know that. There are certain circumstances where a judicial official must recuse. If you have a personal stake or your immediate family has a personal stake in this, like you stand to gain or lose money based on the outcome, you must recuse. Otherwise, it becomes a personal judgment call. Justice Hagedorn made that assessment and concluded that based on the history he has, he couldn't in this case. So I would say then, yes, it is the right decision. If you make that searching of your conscience and that's where you land, then yes, you should get out of the case.
That sounds reasonable.
That sounds reasonable. I'm wondering if the U.S. Supreme Court was listening to that statement.
I think not. Well, they have a whole different set of rules.
Well, they're too busy flying to private islands and,
going on world, you know, world cruises and stuff like that.
Flying American flags upside down.
Supremes don't have time for little piddly things like this on the state level.
We're nothing to them.
Susan Crawford then chiming in on recusing from the Act 10 lawsuit, which is expected to come before Wisconsin's high court. Calvin, play that first clip from Susan Crawford, please.
Would you recuse yourself from any cases involving Act 10?
I would engage in the analysis that I just mentioned. I think it's really important to do that on a case-by-case basis. And again, just to maintain impartiality, I would have to not make that decision until I had conducted that full analysis. So I'm not going to announce in advance how I would decide such issues. That's part of the decision-making process in a case.
Even though your firm, you used to work for represented teachers in a lawsuit looking to overturn
that
it.
That's true, and that's work I'm proud of. I represented public school teachers in a legal challenge to Act 10. I was in court fighting for their rights in the workplace after the government took them away. Act 10, the public, I think, kind of tends to think of it as like one uniform thing. It was a 50-page long bill that changed many different provisions of the Wisconsin statutes. So if there were another case presented to me involving some part of Act 10, I would look at which part is being challenged there, who are the parties bringing that action, and is that a case that I can be fair and impartial on, a case where I have not previously taken a position on the specific issue being raised.
That's Judge Susan Crawford on WISN's Upfront program over the weekend.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel, for his part, says he didn't have any involvement in Act 10. By the time I was elected attorney general, the cases were all done in the Supreme Court and the federal courts. If there's anything lingering, I didn't have any direct involvement. And certainly Justice Hagedorn was the governor's chief counsel when that law was being drafted and created. He had a very direct role that I did not have.
Yeah. I listened to both interviews. Very calm, very measured, very political without trying to sound like politicians. It's, I won't lie, not exciting.
No, neither of them were terribly. Ooh.
Yeah, but that's kind of how that is how it should be for a judge's race. It's nonpartisan, wink, but they have to win your vote. So they are being politicians. It's something that they probably don't want to do. They'd rather just get the job.
Yeah.
But, you know, they answered the questions, I think, fairly and on, and I like to think some of them honestly, but we won't know until we have a winner and they take the bench.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
And then the surprises come.
Yes. I mean, one major thing did stick out to me, and Jane, I'm sure you heard that when we were listening to the interviews, is that, you know, Brad Schimmel, to his credit, is not Daniel Kelly. Daniel Kelly was a little bit off the rails during the campaign last year. He was very fiery, very aggressive, and I don't think that helped him at all. It did not ingratiate himself with the people.
Well, I think if we want anything in a justice, it's that they are level.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That they're not easily excitable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't mind that both of them are not necessarily scintillating. Because I don't think they should be.
No,
I think they should be measured.
Yeah.
That's what, at least in my mind, that's what a judge or justice is.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel said he was surprised after a recent social media post by co-president Elon Musk endorsing him. Of course, Elon Musk jumping into the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race, and I expect his millions will start blasting us pretty soon.
Oh, absolutely.
The general election is April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of weeks away.
We're about six weeks out from that general election. There is no primary for them. But the Republicans are saying that Susan Crawford is courting Wisconsin billionaires. Name me a Wisconsin billionaire who is giving money to the liberals, but okay. But
yeah, we'll have to search for those. I'd love to know who they are.
But on the other side of you have the richest man in the world throwing his voice towards the Republican candidate.
But that's fine. As long as it's not Zuckerbucks.
Well, I mean,
which were actually sent to various communities all over the state just to help them run the election. That was bad. But Elon spending millions or billions in order to influence an election, that's just fine.
I bet you they take Zuckerbucks now the way he's been acting, but you know, that's up for a whole other conversation. I Brad Schimmel has out there, he has opinions that are out there that are accessible about things like abortion, about things like Act 10. He's put those opinions out there, and I think if those cases come before him, he should do the same thing the GOP was demanding Justice Protase Sewich do. Is she made a comment on maps, one comment, they're rigged, she said that, and they lost their minds saying, well, she's already put a judgment down.
She's already decided.
She's decided. Well, they were rigged. Sorry. A lot of people thought so. But I give credit to Brad Schimmel for being level-headed. And he's campaigning.
He's out there. And his ads are certainly all out there.
His ads are everywhere.
They are everywhere. So if the Crawford campaign really wants to get in on this, I suggest you start putting more ads out there. Or it's going to be really, really lopsided. On the subject of abortion, Brad Schimmel says he's not pursuing an endorsement from Pro-Life Wisconsin, which is interesting. Quote, I treasure life even when it's not planned, but I respect that the law puts this in the hands of voters, and I will respect your will. If my values are dictating how I'm going to rule, then that's a problem, unquote.
Yeah.
Well, haven't Wisconsin voters pretty soundly come backing a woman's ability to choose?
I mean, Wisconsin, America's. I mean, yes, it has been overwhelming that there should be some access to
safe and legal abortions.
Exactly. And Brad Schimmel, in his interview, talks about how he and his wife adopted two children.
Which is lovely.
Which is wonderful. The mothers decided to take the babies to term and to give them. That's great. You know what that is? That's called making a choice.
Yes, that's called a choice.
But like he said, that situation, he and his wife's desires to adopt, that cannot have any place in deciding a case where he himself says the people need to be heard. The people have spoken, so then he should reflect the will of the people. Period. Done. And if he doesn't, he's a liar.
And then what's going to happen? 855-752-4842. If you would like to join our conversation, stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before the break, we were talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford appearing yesterday on WISN's Upfront program. And I'm sure you can go to Channel 12. We can put a link into the show notes.
Yep, link will be in the show notes.
If you want to see both of those interviews in full to get a little grasp of their opinions on things. Again, the general election is April 1st. Very, very important election.
Yes.
I know everybody's tired. I know people are exhausted and frustrated. It's really important that we still go out and vote.
Yes.
Myvote.wi.gov. If you have questions about where to go, if you have questions about registration, anything like that, all the phone numbers for all your elected officials are right there at your fingertips. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line wanting to check in on us talking about the two Supreme Court candidates. Good morning, Troy. What did you want to say about this?
Yeah, Schimmel is Brett Kavanaugh-ing us, saying all these reasonable things, quote unquote, and then when he actually gets in there, he'll do the direct opposite. He did this. Kavanaugh did the same thing to Susan Collins with his "this is settled law."
It's precedent.
When it came to abortion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
All three of them did. All three of them did. Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Gorsuch. All three of them in their confirmation hearing sat there and lied and said it was established law. And nope, we're not gonna touch it. And then of course they overthrew the whole thing. So you think Troy's using that same playbook? You think Brad is using that same playbook, Troy? That he's going to say all the right things, and then once he gets in there, he's going to do what he actually believes.
Why not learn from it? Worked for everybody else, so why not learn from that?
Yep, you make a good point. Thank you so much, Troy. Really appreciate you calling. Thank you, as always, for listening. Yeah, there's nothing to stop him from. I mean, what's going to happen? So he gets on the bench. You can't take him off the bench because he lied.
Well, that's the thing, you know, I mentioned earlier and previously was that his measured, calm demeanor gives the notion of someone who will look at the information
and be reasonable
and listen to the people and the will of the people, which Robin Voss hates, so that's not going to happen. So once he gets in that room, wearing that robe, banging that gavel, making the decisions, he's not going to care.
And then he's there for 10 years.
He's there for 10 years, and the court is now a conservative court again. And then they're going to be overturning what all the work they did over the past year and a half again. And we're going back and forth. And that's the bigger problem, Jane, in my opinion, is now we're going to have a court that's going to be like, all right, well, fair maps, abortion. Well, I guess we got to go through and do fair maps and abortion again in 5-6 years when it switches power. Fair maps and abortion, you know what I mean? It's nothing's going to get done. We just have to go back to these quote-unquote greatest hits because we have a reactionary court just undoing the work of the previous one.
That's worth a reminder, though, folks. Remember, we just got fairer maps.
Yep.
We just got them.
And we adopted maps given to us by Republicans.
And I'm assuming that, again, if Brad Schimmel makes out on the court, there will be lawsuits trying to overturn those fairer maps.
Yep.
And then we're going to go back to locking up all the power and essentially ceding it to the Republicans for another decade.
Yeah.
That went so well last
time. They won't have to come up with creative ways to do it now that they're fair maps, like taking people off of committees and, you know.
Not approving appointees.
Or releasing money or, you know, legislation that is nowhere near important. It's all smokescreen just to keep power.
Before we hit the news here, I did want to talk about this briefly. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop with the byline. UW-Madison says National Institutes of Health funding cuts will delay life-saving research for cancer and Alzheimer's patients. UW-Madison is one of the country's top research institutions. Among the top research institutions. Cuts to the National Institutes of Health in this article will significantly disrupt vital research and delay life-saving discoveries and cures for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and more. Cuts to the NIH are part of a broader push by the Trump administration to reshape and reduce the size of the federal government. I am not against finding waste in our government.
Yep.
I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. What I question is, where is the accountability for all of this? Are we going to see reports released to the public about all the savings that they found?
Yeah.
Or is Elmo just going to make a proclamation like, yep, we discovered all this waste and now it's all good?
Well, I think all the waste is going to come from programs that help people, social programs, medical programs. We won't find a dime of waste in the military or in law enforcement.
Well, they're not even going to take a look at the Department of Defense.
Yeah, this is going to be cutting social programs, including Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Yep.
Those things are going to be on the chopping block, all for the glorious good of America and tightening our belt. Meanwhile, I just had this conversation yesterday with my mother-in-law. She's like, I'm afraid I'm not going to get my Social Security check eventually. And that counts for a massive part of her income.
Think of all the seniors who live on their Social Security.
Yep.
That's all they got. That's what they depend upon. And again, this cutting at the NIH, I'm all for finding savings. But at the same time, we are looking for these savings solely in order to extend Trump tax cuts for the millionaires and billionaires and the corporations in this country. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
That's why they're scrambling to find savings. It's not to help you and me.
Never has been.
And when we go to the grocery store or fill up at the gas tank. No. Elon and his ilk and all the big donors, they need those tax cuts. They need another yacht, Greg.
They need to stay super duper duper wealthy. Super duper wealthy is nothing.
Yeah. They'd still be super, super, super duper. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday. That means Monday with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is here. Good morning, Matt. Nice to see you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. Thank you. If you are unfamiliar with Mr. Global, I highly encourage you to follow him on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You have your dedicated channel there, Matt. And when I'm feeling down and I'm feeling badly, I go to follow you on YouTube because people ask you questions and then you respond. And it always is a bright moment in my day to see you. And you're very nice about it for the most part. But other people are usually wrong, and this just gives me great joy. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
I just want to say this before we go on, and we won't go into it, but last time you were here, Matt, we spoke very briefly about the show Landman. You gave your thoughts on the show, and I read some of the comments, and one guy was like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm like, oh, God, why are you even speaking, sir?
Say more. Yeah, say more.
Please tell me how you know more. I'd love to know. So that just made my Tuesday.
Yeah, I'd never run out of content.
That's for sure, because everyone is convinced that they know more and they have more insight into it than you do. Matt, of course, if you have not heard him before, has been working in the oil and gas industry for more than 30 years. He does own his own oil company, and he has also earned the moniker of an oil and gas expert. That's not something that you send off for with box tops from a box top from cereal. You actually have to earn this distinction. So,
kids, eat your Wheaties.
Yeah, the man knows of what he speaks. And we always like to say, Matt has enough experience and all the facts to annoy everyone on all sides, which I think is important. It brings a little balance. So, Matt, when I first saw this article, and you were the first person I thought of, obviously, and this is from the New York Times, and the headline reads, oil companies embrace Trump, but not drill, baby, drill. Now, we had talked about this before the election, that Donald Trump had promised USA is going to become energy independent, and we're not going to need anything from anybody else, and we're going to do it all our own, and that is all going to happen by drilling more What is it that you said at that time? Because I think that still holds true, and it says this in this article.
I'm pretty sure I said that's not a thing, because that's what I say all the time.
Right.
So since I can't remember specifically, I'm going to go with that.
But it was essentially oil companies are only going to drill more if it's going to make them more money. And so,
yeah.
And so if they're already profitable and they're doing well, there is no incentive to drill more in order to lower the prices of their own commodities.
Exactly. And, you know, the producers in the United States, they kind of ride this fine line with OPEC. And one of their biggest fears is that if they produce too much and they take too much market share, that OPEC will flood the market and crash the global oil market. And they've done it two or three times in the past. And between that and just shrinking profits from over drilling, there was never any possibility that drill, baby, drill was ever going to happen. Like it was a slogan by Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and the other thing too is like one thing that we don't seem to, well, when I say we, I mean the royal we, is the oil companies are a business. And like any good business, they do their research. I think what the problem is, people just equate drilling, period, the act of drilling, to profit because they think oil is everywhere. So therefore, if I go to my house and start drilling, I'm going to strike oil. If I go to your house, I'm going to strike oil. But that's not how it is. Oil companies take great pains to research all the due diligence to make sure that they're going to find oil, make a profit, and then make money for their shareholders. I mean, it's not like if I own a McDonald's franchise, I'm not going to open one in a desert where I know nobody's going just because I'm like, hey, man, there's a piece of land. Let's do it. I mean, that's the type of thinking. It's like they're a business. They do the research to know where the money actually is.
Yeah, I think McDonald's is a good analogy. So let's say, someone owned a McDonald's and they sold on average 1,000 Big Macs a day. And they just said, you know what? We're just going to start making 2,000.
Yeah.
How about that? You know, even though they only sell 1,000. That is the fast food equivalent to drill, baby, drill, right?
Right there, right there.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. This is actually pretty simplistic. Again, yeah. Oil companies are not going, because drilling is very expensive, correct, Matt?
And
finding oil and the rigs. And I mean, how long can it take before you actually hit oil?
Well, the drilling process has sped up significantly. But a new well, you're looking at $10 million for a single well. And, you know, from start to completion, probably 3 months. But, you know, we drill thousands and thousands of wells every year in this country. And at $10 million or so a pop, that is an enormous amount of money. That is billions and billions of dollars. So.
And they need to see some of that money back. So again, if they're already making money and they're already profitable, why take on this extra expense to fund more wells and more drilling? According to this article in the New York Times, Matt, for drilling and fracking to pick up substantially, oil and natural gas prices would have to rise, an outcome at odds with Donald Trump's goal of stemming inflation by reducing the cost of energy.
And Matt, you've talked about before that natural gas prices in this country are low because there's so much of it. We're getting so much of it. So there's no chance. Let me rephrase that. Is there a chance that all of a sudden something will happen where natural gas prices will just spike through the roof?
Not necessarily spike through the roof, but there is a lot of upward pressure on natural gas prices right now because we overproduced in 2022 and crashed the market. And, you know, natural gas went from between $9 and $10 down to $1.50. So we have cut back production some and increased demand and exports. And so now the market's back in balance and there's a lot of upward pressure on it with LNG exports, but nothing to spike it, right? We've just got prices back to, you know, a healthy level. But no, there's nothing looming anywhere to spike anything. And what the oil industry needs to see to pick up activity in any significant way, it's not just oil prices. they need to see data that shows them for the next 2 or 3 years, oil prices will be bullish. It's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be a temporary thing. It can't be some conflict overseas that just, you know, there's like a 3 month bump in prices. They do that when they see a long-term bullish run. That's when they ramp up activity significantly, regardless of what the president or anyone else says.
So once again, it goes back to the idea that they say, we see an inherent value. We're going to go for it. They're not all just running around their offices going, drill, baby, drill.
Well, it's about the
business. Some of them probably are. Actually,
Yeah, there's probably a few. I can see that. If you're just joining us, Matt Randolph is our guest. He is known as Mr. Global. Check out his page and his channel on YouTube. It is very enlightening. You will learn a whole lot. And before this even comes in, I want to address this. Gas prices at the pump are up. And we have talked about this in the past, that who is sitting in the Oval Office is not necessarily the one who is affecting prices at the pump. So for people who are wondering why prices have been edging up, can you give us a little insight on that?
Prices are doing what they do every single year at this time. So there's a period of time sort of, but there's this window between the end of winter and the beginning of spring. So what happens when you go into winter time? That's when you get your lowest prices of the year because your demand is down. You're using a winter blend fuel. But then there's this little time period where they come back up just a little bit and kind of stay there. So if you look at, I haven't looked at gas prices today, but I would be willing to bet that they're within a penny or two of where they were at 1 year ago today. I haven't looked at that.
Sure.
So if it's off a little more, I'm sorry. I'm just betting.
Sure.
But there's nothing really putting significant upward pressure on gas prices. We're just we're here in a period of time where pretty soon refineries are going to have to start mixing their summer blends. Because by May the 1st, you have to have all of your summer blend in inventory at the gas stations, right? And they will start in the south and move their way north with swapping over to summer blend. So that means they reduce their refining slightly, because if they overproduce winter blend, it's basically wasted fuels.
It's not going to go anywhere, sure.
So they're trying to kind of marry the winter and summer blends where it's a smooth transition. Plus, you know, last couple of weeks, we had a lot of really bad winter weather on the Gulf Coast. Okay.
Yep.
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Until 2025.
Yeah.
They had 8 inches of snow. Listen, a refinery on the Gulf Coast can't handle 8 inches of snow. They can't handle below freezing temperatures. They're used to 80 degrees. It's like San Diego down there.
Right.
We had LNG export terminals go down. We had refineries go down. Just that, you know, they're not in Wisconsin, right? They're down on the Gulf Coast, and they can't handle that weather. So that actually interrupted quite a bit of production as well.
Boy, that's – now that you mentioned that, Matt, are you at all concerned that there seems to be this complete dismissal on one side about the effects of climate change? Again, what you – that snowstorm along the Gulf, that doesn't normally happen. That shouldn't – it shouldn't be a thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a thing, and now it looks like we have the potential for this happening again.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are unforeseen consequences of climate change that we have yet to realize. Like, there's a recent thing that is becoming more prevalent is wind droughts, because with higher global temperatures, it has some sort of effect on
the wind.
Winds.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, a lot of people don't think about that, but, you know, in the state of Texas in 2024, they produced, I believe it was 3% less wind energy than they did in 2023, even though they had 6% more capacity.
Wow.
So they're adding more wind, but producing less, because if on an average day, you know, you average throughout the entire year, the change in wind speeds is 1 mile an hour. That is a significant decrease in the amount of wind energy that's produced. If it's 2 miles an hour, that's like crazy. That doesn't sound like a lot, you know, the wind just 1 mile an hour. But when you're talking about having a massive, you know, Texas has huge wind farms. They have a ton of wind power. And that little effect just ripples across the entire state. So we've seen that happen in Europe as well. They just went through severe wind drought, which was a big part of their problems with electricity over the last year. So there's things happening with the weather that's going to impact our ability to produce energy. And we have yet to see all of those things happen. I think there's more things that we're not seeing coming that are going to happen that we're going to have to deal with.
Yet another reminder, this is all part of a system. We are all part of a system involving climate and wind and rain and all of those things. This is, you can't cut out one part of it and pretend that that's not a thing. And then we're going to continue our conversation with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Jack, I see you on the line. We'll take you when we get back. It's Monday. Words are hard.
Words are difficult.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. The Board Lord on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Matt Randolph. He is known as Mr. Global. Check out his YouTube channel. It's fantastic. You will learn a lot. Right before the break, Matt, we were talking about Donald Trump going, drill, baby, drill, and the oil companies going, yeah, no, we're good, dude. It's fine. We're all fine. We have Jack from Merrimack, who's been very patient. If you can keep it quick, Jack, go ahead. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, I'm going to start out with a little tangent. Your guest was talking about unforeseen consequences. When I started studying climate modeling, and I have a master's in chemistry and 100-some-odd science credits and all science teaching certification. So I do have a little bit of a credential. We looked at the possible problems, and we saw glacial melting and ocean rise and huge storms. That energy has got to go somewhere. We did not foresee the fires that keep on creeping up all over the place. And so when you talk about unforeseen consequences, they can be pretty serious. Getting back to my original idea, first of all, if what I've read is correct, and I believe the figures are from the U.S. Department of Energy, we are actually producing more oil and have for a couple of years now, more than we actually use. Yeah, we've got to import some because some of our refineries can't handle what we have here. But we need to think about one other important thing, not just climate change, though that is pretty critical. We need to think about the fact that petroleum is used as a base for almost everything you can look around your station and you can see.
Yep.
It's plastic, it's in fabrics, it's in pharmaceuticals. I mean, we've got to consider conserving it is really a limited resource. So there's my rant for the day.
Appreciate the rant, Jack. Thank you so much for checking in. He's right, Matt, as far as petroleum being in so many products and things you might not even ever think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, for the next about 20 years, the petrochemical business is set to sort of really just blow up and grow like crazy because of all those things he just mentioned. And yeah, record production 2023, record natural gas production, record oil production in 2024, record LNG exports, record LNG production, like everything across the board, even renewables, you know, so it's not all about fossil fuels, record wind energy, record solar. So we've set records. The only thing we haven't set record with is like nuclear and hydropower that we haven't invested any money in expanding, but yeah, records across the board. And, but the import thing is more of a profit center and not a need thing. When we talk about exports and imports, people really make it about themselves. They're like, we import and we export, and it import and export is not about the need of the country. It's about the profit of the refiners and the people that are importing and exporting. It's a standalone separate business. It's not about our consumption or any of that. It's about how the best way to make a dollar, right? And so it's better to look at that through that lens because then it makes more sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Matt, you mentioned the big word that people, I think, have a hard time wrapping their brains around, which is nuclear. And is that something that America will ever really get on board with just basic paranoia? And, you know, people are going to say it's not safe. And then what another side says it's totally safe. Is that something that America can really get down on eventually if there is a positive plan?
You know, there's still a lot of fear around nuclear, but the Biden administration passed some fairly significant nuclear legislation in his last year in office with little, you know, modular reactors and things like that. And so there is the sort of appetite for nuclear is growing. Mm-hmm. And there are things in the works to increase that capacity. And there's a lot of countries around the world that have completely abandoned all of their nuclear power and closed everything down. And they're kind of suffering right now because they're looking for energy. They're having to buy it from countries that they don't like. And, you know, it's a tough thing. And I understand the fear around nuclear, but, you know, it's 2025. And when I think about it, I think, okay, it's 2025. Yeah, we had a disaster at a facility that was built 50 years ago. That was 50 year ago technology, right? So I've seen the things that we can do in this day and age. And so I have no fear around nuclear because we have never really yet used the technology that we have right now to build a nuclear facility. And I think it would be significantly safer. And it wasn't that unsafe to begin with. It's just if you have one problem, it just lasts like a million years. So that's really bad, right?
Yes,
so
that's a drawback.
Like the airline industry, you cannot fail. You have to have a 100% success rate, right? Yeah. So I totally understand the fear, though, but I really put my faith in technology because I've seen it do so many amazing things throughout my life and seen it advance and explode.
We never have enough time. We could do 3 hours with you, but we can't.
We could.
We could easily. Thank you so much. Follow him on YouTube. Check out his channel. Please ask him a question. Please, please, please. I need some laughs. I'll check
please
next week.
Please assume you know more than he does.
News is coming up next. Matt Randolph, thank you so very much. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.